So in the gospel, we have the rich man and poor Lazarus. The rich man ends up in torment and hell. Lazarus ends up, you know, in heaven, in the bosom of Abraham. My question to you this evening is, why does a rich man end up in torment and in hell? Why does a rich man end up in hell, in torment? There's a simple answer, and there's a more deep, profound answer. I'm going to give you both, all right? So the simple answer is, well, because the rich man, he was dining with fine linen and sumptuously, and there's poor Lazarus outside, and he didn't help him. Yeah? Simple answer, right? So is that why the rich man ends up in hell and poor Lazarus ends up in heaven? So bottom line, if you help people, you help poor people, you go to heaven. If you don't help poor people, you go to hell. Is that how it works? No. There's a more deeper, profound answer, right? Notice how actually the gospel does not actually mention if Lazarus was fed eventually or not. It could very well have been that later on, the rich man felt sorry and could have fed Lazarus later on, right? Now the question is, if he did feed Lazarus, do you think the rich man would have invited him to his house? I don't want to judge, but maybe not, right? And while living on earth, the rich man pretty much, you know, the real reason why the rich man ends up in hell, I believe, the more deeper, profound answer is because he cannot see poor Lazarus as a person with dignity. That's the deeper, profound answer. Not just because he didn't help poor people or feed them or not feed them, right? So he didn't see the dignity in Lazarus, the value in him. He didn't invite him. And here's a kicker. Even after he dies, who does a rich man talk to? When he's tormenting, right? He's in torment and he sees Lazarus, he sees Abraham. Who does he talk to? Still, even after he dies in torment, he still doesn't see Lazarus as a person with respect, with dignity. He says, hey, Father Abraham, send Lazarus to bring me some water. Send Lazarus to do X, Y, and Z. Send Lazarus to talk to my five brothers so that they don't end up in the same boat as me. Even after he dies, he doesn't see Lazarus, a person worth talking to, with dignity, right? And my question to you is, do we treat everybody with equal dignity? Yes? It's a question that requires an answer. I'm asking you, generally speaking, do you treat everybody, say, the same, with equal dignity? Yes? No? I think, generally speaking, we say yes. And I think we actually try our best. But if you dig a little bit deeper, a lot of subtle ways in our actions and our words, I'm not so sure. And I'm going to start with myself. All right? I'm going to give you some examples, right? Where, you know, it's a blessing for me to be a priest because I get to meet so many different kinds of people, right? And, you know, when it comes to trying to see people with equal dignity, right, things get in the way, such as money, such as power, such as title, such as prestige, right? And we try our best to treat everybody the same, but I'm not sure so sure if we can. So let me give you an example here, right, where, you know, most of you know my background. You know, I'm an only child, pretty spoiled. You know, my family, we're not like Bill Gates rich, but we're not poor, right? So if you're rich, it doesn't impress me, is what I mean, right? You guys are all, I'm rich. Look at my Gucci Prada. You know, I go to Paris. Good for you. I don't care, you know, right? You don't impress me. But actually, there is some value that does impress me, right? I have a good friend of mine. He hit it big. Like, he hit it big. So guess how much he's worth? He's worth $6 billion. Okay, do you know how many millions are in a billion? Yeah, so you say, oh, I'm worth $10 million. Oh, I don't care. Good for you, you know. This guy's worth $6 billion. Okay, he's a good friend of mine, right? Now, I also know people who are in big debt. I'll just say, I'll round up. They're worth $6. Okay, so I have friends who's worth $6 billion, and another friend worth $6. Do I treat them equally? I try my best, right? But take something so subtle, something simple as, let's say both of these close friends of mine, they invite me for dinner. You know, Steve, we're going to cook dinner. Just come over. Just bring some wine if you can. Now, what kind of wine am I going to bring? Huh? What kind of wine am I going to bring to the person with $6? That's rounding up. You help me. I heard Trader Joe's. I heard this two-buck chuck thing, right? Charles Shaw, you know, right? They don't know any better. But, you know, sure, right? Now, what kind of wine am I going to bring to my friend with $6 billion? You think I'm going to bring the two-buck chuck to six? I should, but I don't. Right? I got to bring at least some kind of silver oak or something like this. You know, it's embarrassing if you just bring a, you know. But it shouldn't be that way. It should be the exact same thing. You get my point? Right? So we say we treat everybody with equal dignity, but I'm not so sure, subtly speaking. Huh? Even amongst the priests, right, where, you know, titles do matter, right, where not just here, but in any place, right, where, you know, you have bishops and cardinals, and then you have the priests who are, like, entitled, like, they're like a vicar for this, or vicar general, vicar for clergy, all kinds of people with important power and positions, right? When they're in power and position, right, all the priests call them. They're like, hey, what are you doing? What are you doing for lunch? And you want to hang out? And I need to ask you for a favor. Can I stop by your office? And then, when there's a transition of power, like they say that bishop retired and there's a new bishop coming in and these priests, they lose their title, what happens? Crickets. Nobody calls them. Nobody talks to them because they don't have that position of power anymore. As a brother priest, we should treat everybody the same. It shouldn't matter what your title is. Right? You're a brother and I'm a brother. We're brother priests. You know what I mean? But it doesn't work that way, right? At work, like, I think, again, we say we try to treat everybody the same, equal dignity. I wish, you know, somebody could, like, take the security footage or record your conversations, the way you talk to your superior, your principal, your boss, your CEO, your superintendent, and the way we talk to our subordinates. I wonder if it's exactly the same. You know, a lot of times with somebody who's our boss, you're like, hey, you know, I know you're super busy, but if you have some time, I need to ask you for this and da 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 da. And can I get you some coffee? Or I want to invite you to our house for family dinner, get to know the kids and all these things, right? And then the subordinates, yeah, what else you need? Anything else? Good, all right. You know? Or as children, right? Most of us have a mom and a dad, and let's say, just for the sake of example, let's say, you know, your dad super spoils you and, like, buys you all kinds of things and gifts and always gives you hugs and kisses. Well, somebody got to discipline. And let's say your mom is more of a disciplinarian and says no to many things. Who do you like more? Don't tell me, I like my mom more because she disciplines me. No. Ideally, we should love our mom and dad the same, right? Because they're both our parents with equal dignity. Vice versa. As parents, those who have more than one child, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, some of you have like 10 kids, okay? Now, do you love your children the same? Don't answer it because they're next sitting next to you, okay? I'm pretty sure everybody that I ask, hey, mom, hey, dad, do you treat all your kids the same? Oh, yeah, I love my sons and daughters equally. Oh, really? Really? So let's say, for example, kid number one, you know, is very does very well. He or she goes to a good school, gets a respectable job. You're so proud of your son or daughter. Let's say the other one drops out of school, in and out of rehab. University of San Quentin. So, do you love them exactly the same way still? We say we do. We try our best, but it's sometimes, a lot of time it doesn't show up that way, does it? when you have coffee with the little, you know, at the country club or coffee, you're hanging out, you're like, you're not going to talk about, oh, I'm so proud of my son who's at San Quentin right now. You're not going to do that. You're only going to talk about the ones that are doing well. Yes or no? Right? Even the concept of giving, right? And I want us to kind of think about, I think all of us, we fall into this category of the rich man, where even the concept of giving, where, you know, we have our St. Vincent de Paul drive, especially during Thanksgiving, and is giving a good thing? Oh, for sure it is, right? And they have a canned food drive, right? Help the homeless, help the needy. Wonderful idea. Now, question is, how much of that stuff is expired? Our St. Vincent de Paul Society will tell you, Father, at least 60% of the stuff, the canned food donated, is expired. So what does that tell me? What that tells me is it's not worth it to actually go to Safeway or wherever and actually get a real canned food that's not expired. Well, I'm not going to eat it, but this canned food stuff, beans or whatever, it's been in the cupboard for like 2 years. I'm not going to eat it. I'm sure somebody else who needs it, so I'm going to donate that. Don't tell me you're going to bring the expired canned food when your boss invites you for dinner. If somebody's going to do that, you're going straight to heaven. Right? No way we're going to do that. So don't tell me we treat everybody the same way. We say we do. We try our best. And what's the difference? What is the real difference between, you know, us donating canned food that's expired and the rich man who ignores the poor Lazarus standing outside? Not much difference. Not much difference, right? So that's a challenge for us, right? I think it's literally impossible to treat everybody exactly the same way, right? But that's a challenge for us. I want you this week, think about your relationships. Think about your relationship with your spouse, with your children, with your family, your relationship at work. You know, with your boss, your subordinates, relationship at school, relationship with your neighbors, right? And ask yourself, well, do I really treat everybody with a sense, the equal sense of dignity, right? For this or that person as son and daughter of God, and love them for who they are, not for what they do, or for the money, or the value, or the power, or the prestige, right? What can I do to simply just love people for who they are in my life and try our best to treat people with equal dignity?